Eh? Yeah, that's a before and after. There's other kinds of before and after too. There's also, well, let's see here. How about the next one? Can't get this to work. Come on now. Before and after, oh, acne. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Some people have it, and then there's things you can get for that, and there's an after shot. Yeah, much better when it's after. And then there's also total makeovers, like this lady. Who knew, right? She looked like this, she could look like this, before and after. Or maybe this one. Yeah, here's before, here's after. Wow, what a difference, right? And then there's other kinds of before and after. There's what I do with my life before and after. David was just a boy who watched sheep. He was the youngest of many brothers, bottom of the totem pole. Low jobs go to the youngest, the simple jobs. Little did anyone realize that God had chosen him for the top job, king. Yeah, God's chosen. There's a pretty big before and after, huh? Indeed. Well, I love the psalm I want to share with you for just a few moments today because this is the word that came after. As David, sitting on his throne, looks back across his life and thinks about what it was like before and what it's like now and how God has been a part of that. Let's stand, shall we? As we read together responsively Psalm 21, we're just going to look at the first seven verses. Choir, you can stay seated. You've done your work. But I'll read the black lines. You read the white lines. The word of the Lord from Psalm chapter 21. And these are the words of the king, reflecting out loud about himself. O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. For the king trusts in the name of the Lord. Indeed, you may be seated. Thanks be to the Lord for his word. Those words, you've given me the desires of my heart. You know, I've heard some religious leaders say, particularly Christian pastors who are very successful, you just got to claim it. You just got to tell the Lord what you want and he will give it to you. And sometimes they quote verses that I'm like, well, yeah, it kind of says that. But at the same time, it sure seems like a way of bullying God, as if that's ever wise or good to do. But David says, you've given me the desires of my heart. Is it anything that I want, Lord? Is it that you're going to give me rich blessings if I listen to you and follow your path for my life? Where's that going to take me? Well, I'm afraid it isn't going to always take you through the path of blessing and happy sunshine and roses. In fact, as David looked back across his life, he remembered lots of low points. How about fighting off wild animals like bears against the sheep as a boy? Talk about frightening. Talk about life or death. And then there was the time he went to watch the war that his older brothers were in and found himself face to face with a 9-foot behemoth of a soldier who said, I'll tear your limbs apart and feed you to the dogs, you little scant. That was a scary moment. And then there was when he came into the royal court and the king in his jealous rages said, you're my enemy, and made him a fugitive, who had to run for his very life outside of the borders, even into the territory of his enemies. Those were not happy days. Those were frightening times of wondering why. God, I didn't do anything wrong. How come this has to be my lot? You told me I'd be blessed. You told me I'd be king. This prophet Samuel even anointed me. And then later, when he was on his throne, one of his greedy sons tricked and rebelled against him and sent him running out of the capital for his very life. And everyone turned against him. Another psalm recounts how he remembers being spit at and scorned as he fled from his son. Yeah, it's like that sometimes. Having the faith doesn't mean it's always going to be a beautiful time, doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. So what's to gain, Pastor? What is the point of faith in this beautiful, glorious kingdom that God wants to bring if it's not so glorious? Well, let's just look at those words just a little bit one more time. The first two verses, almost there. The first two verses talk about what God gives. Strength. Lord, you've given strength. You've kept me from falling down, weak, and dying at so many points on the journey. As I look back, I see it now. You are a giver of strength. And in fact, you're the one who gives the victory. I just pick up the sword and do what I have to do, but you turn the battle. I can't do that alone. And it's true. Sometimes in the places where you and I work, the places where you and I live, the things we hold out to be right for our kids, we can't turn the whole culture in a way that's helpful. We feel like we've just got one little sword and there's a behemoth coming our way. But God has a way of giving victory. And the desires for good. Yeah, desires that are good for others, not bad for others. Our desires, we really want good for others. We want them to live and prosper. We want them to do well. Just stop hurting others in the process to get it, eh? And then there's the next two verses. You give welcome, Lord. You always welcome me to come and talk to you, to draw near to you. You always want to bless my life. That's just your nature. Your loving kindness is always available if only I have an attentive gaze to see it coming. And beyond that, you promise life that is forever. Ah, this body will break down. Even now I start to feel it. Even you also struggle. And as many medications and therapies and treatments as we take, it doesn't last. But the hope and promise of God is forever. That life in its beauty will enter into eternity, and even when everything else melts away or is incinerated or falls on its own sad warrants, life can go on forever. Indeed, the next two verses say the same. It's about blessing that goes on to eternity and the fact that God comes and fills us with the joy of his presence in the midst of the chaos and the struggle that we live in this life. Joy, gladness, that isn't disrupted by what the boss did, what our kids did, or God have mercy, what any other appointed leader may do. Indeed, there is a sense of joy in his presence. That's what the song's about. Jesus came. Joy. Joy that is uninhibited or not turned over by the events of this life because it's his presence with us. Yeah. These are the things that David saw. These are the things that he came to understand and realize. And not too late. Oh, Lord, you're the one. I wasn't crowned because I was the smartest man ever. I wasn't crowned because I was the bravest man ever. I wasn't crowned because I had talents. I wasn't crowned because I had connections with all the right people. But how often we strive for each and every one of those things just to survive in this life. No, Lord, I put my hope in you. I put my trust in you. And I was glad to see that you gave exactly what was needed for now and tomorrow and everyone that comes in the future. Well, that's a great thing to have. That's a great after to enter into. Because the before sometimes looks pretty bleak. But how do I access that? Ah, there it is. In verse 7, almost yelling at us off the page. The king trusts in the name of the Lord. We bring the trust. He brings the unfailing love. It's coming together. It's a God saying, I want to be with you. I want to dwell in you. I want to show you how it really is, to help you see what's ahead, because some of it you perceive and some of it you never will. without my help. Indeed, trusting God experiences loving kindness, the joy of His Spirit's presence placed within us. When those two things come together, we move from the before to the after. Perspective, attitudes, awareness, recognition comes. What about you? Are you living in the before? I know I need to do that. I know I need to move into that glorious kingdom, but I'm just not there yet. I can see it. I haven't started what I need to do. I haven't made the changes in my own heart and mind so that I can enter into that better after. Indeed, ever after. This is what God wants for us. In your bulletin, under the service order, there's a little prayer. A little prayer that flows right on out of these verses that David wrote. You'll see it at the bottom underneath the order of worship. It's a prayer that invites us to say, it's time to move from the before of my striving, talented life to the after of God's presence, the joy, the perceptions that I've only caught a faint glimpse of. When we pray a prayer like this, we confess our own limitations, our own mistakes. We recognize that this birth of this one who came to be born and die and live again forever offers us a whole new perspective, a whole new experience, one that's filled with His blessing. Let's pray it together. Maybe you'll pray it for the first time today, and if you do, I hope you'll talk to me about it. I'd be so glad to know that you are a person who is wanting to cross from before to after. Let's pray it together, shall we? God, You are the giver of life, full joy, and every success. Too often I give my life for earthbound treasures and comforts, but today I turn from my sin and seek Your saving mercy. Forgive me because of Jesus. I believe that His birth, death, and never-ending life offer truest and lasting victory. Grant me the blessing of Your Spirit, even as I trust in Your unfailing love. Amen. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer earnestly from the heart for the first time, this is a new day for you. This is the beginning of the after that won't be melted away in the trials of life or even the return of the Lord, but one that will be strong now into forever. I hope that we will all share the same experience as that day comes. Amen.